Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, I don't know that I'm going to get through everything today. There's so many crazy stories going on out there, and that just seems to be the norm anymore, doesn't it? It's just, it's just crazy. But anyway, it's good to be with you, and I'm going to try to walk you through all the different things that I've been looking at and I've been reading and paying attention to, and we'll just have to wait and see if we can get through it all. I'll have a couple of, maybe one or two lighthearted moments. But not many. And then some good news, though, some good news out there, especially on the economy side of what's going on here in America. And we need to praise the Lord for that. Whether you're a Trump fan or not, when things are good for the country, it's good for pretty much most of us and most of your neighbors. And so we should care about that. And you can wrestle with who gets the credit all you want. But the reality is, when there's things that are going on that are good for people, we should rejoice in that. Whether it's your team that gets the credit or not, should be. I'd like to think it would be irrelevant, but oftentimes it isn't. We get clouded by all that stuff. And so let's just try to praise the Lord when we can, for sure. And then also continue to pray about things that are tough or difficult and things that are disappointing. But some interesting things going on out there. Just a little fun note here, because most of you know I'm a big movie fan and like to do movie reviews when I can. My wife's out of town, and so didn't have a chance to do that today, but will do a review at one of these days. I'll do an Endgame review where I can actually talk about it without ruining it for anybody, because so many people didn't see it last weekend because pretty much every showtime was sold out for the most part. It was crazy. But going into this weekend, this is just nuts. Just some general information out here, just cultural stuff. $1.785 billion heading into the weekend, which makes it the fifth highest grossing movie of all time. Now pursuing one of my darlings, The Force Awakens, Star Wars, trying to pass that up. And we'll see what happens. It's just amazing. But then another thing equally as amazing is how much money Robert Downey Jr. makes doing these. Because, you know, he started he was kind of the epicenter of it and is the foundation of it, going back to the first Iron Man movie. And it was, this just came out recently. I hadn't read this anywhere else. Totally amazing. Infinity War, right? So he makes a back-end deal where he's able to get a portion of the box office, okay? Knowing that he's going to be the epicenter of this whole thing. Once he got into Infinity War, so he's working the backside of the deal. There's a salary up front, but now he's mostly getting paid based on the box office. So it's reported now that Infinity War, he made at least $75 million. At least $75 million. And Endgame is blowing Infinity War out of the water. But other people like Thor and Captain America, they're in the $15 to $20 million range. Pretty good gig, huh? Apparently, that's not happening in Christian radio. But $15 to $20 million in Endgame for Captain America and Thor. But Robert Downey Jr. is going to be north of $100 million on this one deal. That's crazy. Just amazing. Speaking of numbers, try not to covet. Speaking of numbers, there's more to life. And what gains a man that, what profits a man that gains the whole world but loses his soul? I've never heard anything about Robert Downey's faith or lack thereof. Certainly hope anybody that's that successful, or anybody on the planet for that matter, knows the living Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if they don't, unfortunately, all the best thing that they'll ever have is here on the planet Earth during their lifetime. And then it's all gone. Which is kind of sad to think about. I have no idea about any of these stars. It doesn't look good generally for them. But a lot of them just don't say anything about their religion or their faith, anything about that. Some of them do, and I'm thankful for that. Like Chris Pratt. Chris Pratt is who plays one of the guys from Guardians of the Galaxy, right? Jurassic Park, all that kind of stuff, Jurassic World. And he's been pretty open about his faith. Sure looks like he's a believer, which is cool. But moving on from there, talking about numbers, the economy right now, it's going to be interesting because the tide is turning in D.C. a little bit right now. I don't know if you've watched any of these fiascos, any of the nightmare going on this week with Bob Barr and the Mueller report and the Democrats and the Republicans and the Senate, and then in the House, and he blew them off in the House, which I think was this guy's not going to play. We obviously know Trump's not going to play any of their games for the most part, but Bob Barr isn't going to play either. So he literally didn't show up yesterday to the House, and now they're saying, oh, we're going to, you know, go after him for the subpoena, and if he doesn't appear with the subpoena, we're going to go after him for contempt of court, yada, 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 and all that stuff. But Trump has some incredible numbers on his side going into next year's election. So just some headlines, all right? This is just some headlines that just came out in the last couple of days. Hispanic unemployment rate sets new record low in April, 4.2%. For Hispanics. It's the lowest it's been since 1973. So you got that. That's a headline. Here's another one. And again, praise the Lord for these things, regardless of who gets the credit, all right? Praise the Lord anyway. Unemployment rate for women falls to the lowest rate since 1953. 3.4% in April. Okay? Just amazing. Here's another one. Lowest unemployment in 19 years for workers without bachelor's degrees in April. So you don't have a bachelor's degree, didn't go to college, no problem. Lowest unemployment rate in 19 years for people without bachelor's degrees. Another huge thing that we should praise the Lord for. Again, regardless of who gets the credit, things that are good for our neighbors, things like this that aren't immoral, you know, that's not contrary to God's word in any way, but that's good. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father, for your continued patience with this nation that has so much against it in terms of immorality, but yet his common grace allows these things to happen. Jobs surge in April. Unemployment rate falls to the lowest since 1969. The lowest rate since 1969. The U.S. job machine kept humming along. This is from CNBC. Adding a robust 263,000 new hires while the unemployment rate fell to 3.6%, the lowest in a generation, the Labor Department reported today. Non-farm payroll growth easily beat Wall Street expectations of 190,000 and a 3.8% jobless rate. Hourly earnings growth held at 3.2% over the past year, a notch below Dow Jones estimates at 3.3%. But earnings are growing and unemployment's going down. And it's just amazing to see all that. And so it's no wonder, right, as we kind of consider where we're at, it's no wonder at this point that here's a tracking poll, daily tracking poll, presidential tracking poll out of Rasmussen showing Trump 50% approval rate. 50% of likely U.S. voters approve of President Trump's job performance, 47% disapprove. And it's 50%. It's pretty awesome. We'll see what happens. There's a lot going up in D.C. I'll talk about some of that mess from this week, and then we'll move on from there. One of the best Bible teachers in the last 100 years just died. Did you know that? Do you know who it is? We'll talk about that as well when we come back. This is Steve Noble. Hang in there. Back at Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, kind of all over the map today, but it's a kind of a free-for-all Friday, which we used to do regularly, and that's just the world we live in now. It's a free-for-all, crazy stuff. I'm going to play for you in a little bit from Umma Day. That's just about the Muslim nation, people in general around the world. But Umma Day, they did this at a Muslim society. I'm not going to tell you the location yet, but I'm going to translate for you because it's on the screen. I'll play for you some songs that these little Muslim kids were singing, and then I will translate for you, because I'll see it on the screen, some of the comments that these young girls had, these young Muslim girls. And it's really disturbing, and that's part of fundamental Islam. And thankfully, praise the Lord, most Muslims around the world are not fundamentalists. But if they are, WWMD, what would Muhammad do? You read the book, you follow his life, you know his history. And that's what causes the problem around the world with Islamic fundamentalism. Some people call it extremism. I don't. I think they're fundamentalists. I think they really know him. They know the readings. They know the hadith. They know the Quran. Do what he says. Do what he did. And that's trouble for everybody. So I'll get to that as well. And then a couple other stories that are really kind of disturbing, eye-opening. One megachurch pastor renounces his faith. I'm out of here. It doesn't work. What? I'm going to get to that because there's some lessons there that we need to be paying attention to as our nation continues to change quickly right underneath our feet. And then another one, the shooter at the synagogue just a little over a week ago, right? Or not quite a week ago, was steeped in a very conservative Christian home and church. And yet he goes and becomes an attempted, basically, mass murderer, right? Killed one woman there at the synagogue. And there's something to learn from that as well, especially if you're a parent or a grandparent and you have kids, teenagers especially. But we'll get to all of that hopefully before the end of the show. And then this one, I don't know if you heard this, and then we'll jump back to Washington, D.C. Warren Wiersbe, who's one of the greatest Bible teachers in the last 100 years, born in 1929, just passed away last evening in 2019. He had a long, illustrious career, pastored several different churches, ended up at Moody Bible Church in Chicago, and then eventually began on the radio, Back to the Bible. That was Warren Wiersbe on Back to the Bible in 1980. The Wiersbes moved to Lincoln, Nebraska, where he became Bible teacher at Back to the Bible Radio Ministries. And just an incredible man of God, a writer, theologian, speaker, radio, the whole nine. I've used a lot of Warren Wiersbe's. You may recognize his series, his commentary series called Be Ready, and there's all kinds of Be Confident, Be Alive, Be Amazed, an incredible series of commentaries on the Bible. And he's out of here. When people that know the Lord go to glory and they leave this place for the time being, because heaven will eventually end up back here on earth, a new heavens and a new earth, heaven comes here, ends up here on a material earth, a rejuvenated, a renewed earth. But that's where heaven ends up, which is fascinating to think about and contemplate. But Warren Wiersbe's out of here, man. Back home with the saints, back home with his heavenly Father. And that's a praise. At the age of 89, went to be with the Lord last night, May 2nd in the evening, 89 years of age, Warren Wiersbe, a huge blessing to the body of Christ for years. But he's, like I said, he's out here, and God bless him for it. Facebook, this is disturbing. This has been happening more. Now they're doing a little more widespread, and I think they're doing some obvious targets in order to put a lot of other people on notice. Who knows where this is going to go as they continue. And remember, Facebook controls Instagram. So Louis Farrakhan, Alex Jones, Milo Yiannopoulos, these are all pretty extreme communicators. Milo's definitely very conservative. Alex Jones is just nuts. Louis Farrakhan is also nuts, as you know. So they banned him permanently. History, they're out of here, saying, you know, these are dangerous voices. So they're banning them. So where does that stop? And who gets to define the word dangerous? Do you think my voice is dangerous? The things that I say depends on who's listening, right? So be aware of that and pay attention when you're posting stuff on Facebook, especially if you're posting very conservative, very Christian, biblical worldview positions. And if you use pretty strong language in terms of descriptors, I'm not talking about swearing and vulgarity or whatever. I'm just talking about calling abortion baby murder, things like that. Or using, if you're going to talk about homosexuality, you talk about an abomination, you're using a word from the Old Testament, then pay attention. And I think this acceptance rate is going to get smaller and smaller and smaller, because Facebook, like every other platform, Instagram, all the other ones, myself included, this radio show included, they have an agenda. And that agenda is definitely not ultimately free speech. It's their agenda. It's their worldview. Now we're playing on their platform. So is that a free speech violation? Good luck with that, because you don't have to be on there. So we'll see what happens. But that's a dangerous precedent that they're setting, and that's probably going to keep growing and being an issue. Okay, back to D.C. and what happened on Wednesday in the Senate, or Bob Barr could more than handle himself as the attorney general. And they went after him pretty hard, and he handles it. He reminds me of Dick Cheney. Dick Cheney was kind of always unflappable, like him or not. I mean, he was a cool customer. And Bob Barr's the same way. So they're going ballistic because the left, the Democrats, are going ballistic simply because they didn't get from Mueller what they wanted. They were assuming for the last 2 years they were going to get it. Man, this was going to be the reports coming out, and Trump is toast, which is ultimately what they're living for, apparently. And they didn't get that on Russian collusion. There's nothing there. See you later. Goodbye. But what Mueller did, which was really abdicating his responsibility as the special counsel, he's supposed to come out and say, hey, we have stuff, and he's going to be charged. It's kind of like a grand jury. Or there's nothing here that we can charge, and so we're done. That's it. Definitive. Yes, no. He was definitive on collusion. There's nothing there. On quote-unquote obstruction of justice, not definitive. So then he just dumps 400 pages of information. Why did he do that? That wasn't his job. His job was supposed to come out and say yes or no on these two different things. But I think because he can't stand Trump, I think a bunch of people on his team can't stand Trump. And so they decided to put some chum out there in the water for the sharks to see if they could eventually get him dealt with. But Bob Barr is not playing. And so there is a really interesting article here. It's an opinion piece from Harmeet Dhillon. She is a trial attorney, and she makes some great points here. This was on Fox News. So I'm going to start some of this. I'll finish it on the other side of the break, and then we'll move on. Attorney General William Barr's testimony before the Senate Judiciary Committee on the Department of Justice's investigation into Russian interference and his refusal to testify before House Judiciary Committee both revealed how much about the new attorney general and the Democrats who sought to question him. Democrats' deep angst at the Mueller investigation's failure to uncover their hoped-for evidence that the Trump campaign colluded with Russia manifested Wednesday with Democrats attacking Attorney General Barr's character, even though that strategy failed spectacularly during his confirmation hearing and his proper handling of the flawed Mueller report with cringe-inducing defamation of President Trump thrown in. Now, was it defamation? I don't know. I don't know how Harmeet Dhillon can claim it's defamation, but there's all kinds of stuff in there that's negative. And it's right there for everybody to read. Interestingly enough, by the way, as a side note, and this is important, they decided, the Attorney General's office, Bob Barr, decided, okay, we're going to give six Republicans and six Democrats, all leaders on both sides in terms of the House and the Senate, access to the fully unredacted version of the Mueller report. Okay, all 400 pages, no redactions whatsoever. Guess who showed up and read that? Two Republicans and nobody else. Give us the report. Okay, here it is. Everything's in there. The summaries, everything. Okay, without redactions. So just come on over. When would you like to see it? Still waiting for that text. Still waiting for that calendar appointment. Unbelievable. We'll pick it up there when we come back. I need a getaway car whose transmission is working. Our 2010 Ford Fusion, welcome back. This is Steve Noble, by the way, which I've been driving since 2011. The other day, you know, you're driving, I'm leaving the studio and you're driving and all of a sudden you high RPMs and no movement as you're going down the road. I go, okay, this isn't good. And then I end up on the side of the road. So the transmission's toast there. So now we got looking at replacing that and the other cars in the shop. And you got this fun stuff. That's life. But God always brings us through and we praise him and give him all the glory and credit for that. And then one thing that's been so helpful is obviously staying in God's word and being saturated with his word and the wisdom you find there. So the Daily Dose devotional that I've been writing for years, almost done with the book of Proverbs. It's taken me about 9 months through every book of Proverbs, so 31 books and 31 chapters in Proverbs. And I'm not doing every verse in Proverbs, but we've done a lot of them. There'll be about 191 individual devotions when we finish up, which will be sometime next week. And then we're going to move to the book of Psalms. I've never attempted that before. So there'll be one Daily Dose devotional per psalm. So I have to boil down. I try to not necessarily summarize, but I'll just, you know, trust the Lord to lead me in that with each psalm, kind of something really meaty that we can pull out of one. And then there's a lot of things with each psalm, obviously, but we're going to start that next. So if you want to get on that list and get those come out weekdays via email, and they're also on Facebook. So go to the Facebook page where you can join us right now with Facebook Live, just the Steve Noble Show on Facebook. That's easy enough. Or text the word DOSE, D-O-S-E, to 66866. That's all you got to do, and you can get on the email list for the Daily Dose devotional. Just text the word DOSE, D-O-S-E, to 66866, and you can start getting those. Psalms will start sometime next week. And so we'll work our way through that, which will take several months. And hopefully, Lord willing, this summer we're going to try to get the ball rolling to turn all these devotional series I've written into a series of books. These are small devotional books, but there'll be a series called Your Daily Dose. Whatever we name it, it'll be something like that. But I hope they bless you. I love writing them. They help me immensely in preparing for them and writing them. And I hear all kinds of good stuff all the time, so God's been gracious there. So check that out. Okay, back to D.C. We'll go from the heavenly highs of the Bible to the lows of D.C. So all the things going on this week with Attorney General William Barr, Bob Barr, who's out there, unflappable, right? So I'm reading a commentary from Harmeet Dhillon. She's a trial lawyer. She was writing on Fox News. Attorney General Barr was unflappable in the face of Democrats' strained questions, parrying their insinuations, baseless personal attacks, and unfounded allegations with careful reminders of the relevant law and established facts. I hate it when the law gets in the way, right? Democrats dwelt on Attorney General Barr's March 24th letter to Congress regarding the Mueller report. We talked about that the other day. They're trying anything they can because they didn't get from Bob Mueller what they wanted, which was a clear-cut Trump is guilty of obstruction of justice. Now we can prosecute him and impeach him and throw him out. Because this is all about that. They're still in shock that he won, can't believe it, disgusted by the whole thing, disgusted by him. And I can certainly understand certain problems with Donald Trump, but generally they're just totally obsessed. And they were showing it all this week. And as embarrassing for Democrats as the Senate hearing was on Wednesday, she writes, Thursday's debacle over the House Judiciary side was downright humiliating. We saw a full-fledged circus with Congressman Steve Cohen, a Democrat from Tennessee, gobbling down a bucket of fried chicken, literally KFC, looked like a product placement, at 10 a.m. for the cameras as he gesticulated at an empty chair, claiming the attorney general was chicken for not showing up. So he shows up with a big bucket of fried chicken, which he's chowing down on, right? And he has a ceramic chicken sitting there and the empty chair they left for Bob Barr, who refused to come play their game. And they're just going ballistic. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi outside the chambers, who has to date has been one of the most circumspect Democrats in the collusion obstruction spectrum, abandoned rectitude and accused the attorney general of criminal perjury, implying that he could be prosecuted for his crime. And to this, a writer writes, by whom, Madam Speaker? He's the attorney general. So details, details, details. So you got this petulant Democrats going after him. The smell of fear, this is a really interesting and important point, blanketing Washington, D.C. Thursday, further manifested in the New York Times story detailing shocking facts about the FBI's use of spy. As Azra Turk worked with FBI assistant asset Stephen Helfer to try to entice George Papadopoulos in September. So now Barr's going after all this crazy stuff that's been happening at the FBI, going back to the dossier, the Steele dossier, and the FISA warrants to bug Trump's campaign and all that stuff. And Barr's going after all of it now. So they have to attack him, right? Because he's attacking some portion of the Democrat deep state machine, as some people like to call it. So this game is far from over. It will not stop until he's out of D.C., he being Trump. So don't think this is going to end anytime soon, because it's not. So get used to it. But it's definitely a circus. And I'm not really amused by it anymore. Most people in America aren't either. And the Democrats are probably digging themselves a hole for 2020, the more they go after that. And if they decide to go after impeachment, oh, my goodness. I think the whole thing's going to blow up in their face. Okay. Let me parry over to – this is really quite disturbing. So I'm going to play this for you. And I'm going to read for you. This was done on UMA Day. This was just the other day, April 22nd. At a Muslim society with little kids. So you're going to hear a song first that they're singing, and I'm going to tell you what the words mean because it's been translated. And then there's some young girls. These are all kids. They're like middle school age. And there's some young girls reading statements. These are all young Muslims. And then I'm going to tell you where this happened, okay? But I want you to hear this. This is just a reality. Again, I always clarify, I'm not talking about all Muslims worldwide. But about 20% of them are what most people would call radical, right? Islamic radicals. I call them fundamentalists. Read the book, read the Quran, read the Hadith, follow the example of Muhammad. What would Muhammad do? And this is what you get, okay? So I want you to listen to this, and I'm going to tell you what they're saying. And I'm looking at it on a screen, okay? So this was happening just the other day. So check this out. Those who accept humiliation, what is the point in their existence? Okay. Those who reject oppression are the ones who assert their existence. This is these little kids. And they eliminate injustice from the land of the Arabs. Rebels, rebels, rebels. And they're doing this little dance hand motions like they're in church, right? That's what's going on here. Rebels, rebels, rebels. Glorious steeds call us and lead us onto paths leading to the Al-Aqsa Mosque. That's in Jerusalem, by the way. The blood of martyrs protects us. Paradise needs real men. The land of the Prophet Muhammad's night journey is calling us. Our Palestine must return to us. Okay? This is very radical. Oh, Saladin, your men are among us. Shame will be washed away. You need force and the Quran. Oh, free people. We must persevere no matter what happens. And with the help of the omnipotent Lord, day will follow night. Take us, oh ships, until we liberate our lands. They're talking about Palestine, okay? until we reach our shores and crush the treacherous ones. These kids are middle schoolers, all right? Blow, O winds of paradise, flow, O rivers of martyrs. You should know what that means. My Islam is calling. Who is going to heed its call? Rise, O righteous ones. Now, these are these little girls. Oh, our martyrs sacrificed their lives. They attained paradise, and the scent of musk emanates from their bodies. These are little girls, okay? They compete with one another to reach paradise. Will Jerusalem be their capital city, or will it be a hotbed for cowards? We will defend the land of divine guidance with our bodies, this girl says, and we will sacrifice our souls without hesitation. We will chop off their heads, and we will liberate the sorrowful and exalted Al-Aqsa Mosque. We will lead the army of Allah, fulfilling his promise, and we will subject them to eternal torture. Okay, these are middle schoolers, all right? Those are middle schoolers reading and singing along to this. Ummah Day, just the other day, April 22nd. And you want to know where that happened? That was in Philadelphia. That was in Philadelphia. Philadelphia, PA, the good old United States of America. Talking about martyrs, talking about blood, talking about chopping heads off. These are middle schoolers. This is in the United States of America. This is like the Islamic American League. So like a club kind of thing. But it was right there in Philadelphia, and it took place, what, a week and a half ago? On April 22nd, 2019, just recently. So we need to pay attention. And again, don't be foolish with this and go, oh, all Muslims, okay? Wrong. It's not all Muslims. As a matter of fact, the vast majority of Muslims worldwide can't even read Arabic, which is what the Quran is in. So they only know what they're taught. And a lot of the Muslims that I met in northern Iraq when I was on a mission trip a few years ago are very much like Americans. They're Muslim by culture, but they're not practicing Muslims. They don't care. They're very secular. But about 20%, studies have shown, of Muslims worldwide are what I would call fundamentalist Muslims. Read the books, the Quran, the Hadith, follow the example of your leader, Muhammad. What would Muhammad do? We know what he would do. We know what he did. He was a murderous, treacherous guy, a pedophile, all kinds of stuff. Did God come visit? Was that the angel Gabriel that visited him in a cave? No, it was definitely a demon who then created a false religion. So we need to pay attention. You need to wake up. But please do not run around and assume every Muslim is like this. Most Muslims aren't. Most Muslims would be a good neighbor. Praise the Lord for that. But a few of them, the last people you would want to be a neighbor, are some of these radical, what we would call radical, I call them fundamental, Islamic extremists is what the culture calls them. But they're out there. And they're being trained. And they're spreading. And that's simply by birth rates. Muslim birth rates in Europe, way higher than European rates, and their rates here in America, way higher. Again, I'm not stoking fear. I'm just telling you to be sober-minded. I pay attention to it often. You should as well, and let's make sure we pray. Yeah, I'll put a link up on Facebook Live. I'll put a link up for that video here in just a second. When we come back, a couple other really sobering stories that we need to pay attention to, especially if you have teenage children or grandchildren. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Kind of a wild all over the place Friday, but there's a lot going on. And by the way, during commercial breaks, most of you are listening on the radio, and God bless you. I thank you for that, and thank you for all of our radio affiliates and partners around the country from San Francisco. Just so you know, if you're not aware what's going on with the show. So we're on in 13 states, 22 markets, and 28 signals, FM, 15 FM and 13 AM. So we're on in San Francisco, California, Jacksonville and St. Augustine, Florida, Brunswick, Georgia, Honolulu, Hawaii, isn't that cool? Indianapolis, Indiana, of course, Creston, Des Moines, and Preston in Iowa, Kansas City in Kansas, as well as Missouri, Billings, Montana, Albuquerque, New Mexico, here in my home state of North Carolina. We're in Asheville, Charlotte, Greensboro, Winston-Salem, High Point, the Triangle, which is Raleigh-Durham, Chapel Hill, Salt Lake City, Utah, and Richmond, Virginia. A lot of those stations, about half of them, not quite half, are the Truth Radio Network, and we've got Wilkins Radio Network, so we've got great radio partners, so it's on in various parts around the country. But I'm going to need your help some more because we want to stay on all those stations. But we need to get more involvement and partnership on the financial side. I hardly ever talk about that on the radio, but just an FYI, a Christian radio. Just about all of it that you hear, could be David Jeremiah, could be Greg Laurie, whatever. Almost all of that is purchased airtime, and we're no different. We purchase airtime on all those stations. And we need to do a better job of asking you to partner with us to help us underwrite that. And I'm going to talk about that a lot in June. I've never done it before. It'll be a little awkward, but we definitely need help to be able to stay on all these markets that we're in. And then we've got some exciting things we're doing in the non-Christian media space on the podcasting side, which I'll talk more about this summer, and trying to get these daily devotionals that I write, the Daily Dose devotionals, into book format. There's a lot going on, and we need help. We need your partnership and your support. And many of you already support financially the ministry, but we need a whole lot more people, and most people aren't even aware of it. So I'll start talking about that more in June. But on Facebook Live, okay, so most of you are listening on the radio during the commercial breaks. On Facebook Live, we're having additional conversation because Facebook Live, we don't have commercial breaks. So if you want to join us there, just the Steve Noble on Facebook, and you can jump in there. We were having a conversation, and something came up about prodigals, and really good Christian parents can have children that make really bad decisions. One of the guests I had on a couple of years ago, Carol Barnier, wrote an incredible book about reaching prodigals, engaging today's prodigals. So if that's something that would be a blessing to you, and it certainly was a huge blessing to my wife and I personally, and to a lot of other people that we've recommended it to, and a lot of other people that heard that show, you can listen to the podcast, you can buy the book. Just go to the Facebook Live page, Facebook, The Steve Noble Show, and you'll find the links there, or you can go to the website at thestevenobleshow.com and check it out there. All right, a couple articles that are not fun to go into. They're a little disturbing and kind of upsetting and sad, but they offer us an opportunity to discuss important things. And I get sick and tired, to be quite transparent here. I get really tired of dealing with negative stories and garbage all the time. I have to spend a lot of time reading and looking at articles and researching. So I see a lot of garbage, and it just gets old. But there's lessons to learn, and we need to be sober-minded. That's one of my favorite phrases as a Christian and a biblical worldview, is we need to be sober-minded people. So I use a lot of these articles to kind of prod us and help us all move in a direction where we can be better stewards of God's word and a better blessing to each other, to our children, to the body of Christ, and even to our nation. So a couple stories here that I wanted to finish with today that I think we can learn from. So this one. I saw this one the other day, and then a friend actually texted me about it. Former megachurch pastor renounces faith on Instagram and Twitter. Now, if it's a small church pastor and he never really had much success numerically, I could understand that. But this is a megachurch pastor, all right? Dave Gass, formerly the lead pastor at Grace Family Fellowship, church planner at Journey the Way, pastor at First Covenant Church, Cedar Point Community Church, has taken to social media to renounce his faith. After 40 years, this is what he said, after 40 years of being a devout follower, 20 of those being an evangelical pastor, I am walking away from faith, he said. Even though this has been a massive bomb drop in my life, it has been decades in the making. Really? Interesting. Listen, we'll go on. Citing Greek mythology books he read as a high school kid, he says it dawned on him how much the quote-unquote deity of the Bible sounded like what he'd read, and that seed of doubt never went away. Interestingly, though, he claims he never truly had a saving faith. He chose to spend his life teaching Scripture, preaching the Word of God, and proclaiming that which he says he does not believe in. Now, you're reading in Scriptures, New Testament, you're spending time in there, in like John 2. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out, that it might become plain that they all are not of us. John 2:19. That's throughout the New Testament. It talks about false teachers. People that don't actually believe. People that actually aren't Christians. Just because you say you believe in God and Jesus died on a cross and that's all good, and there's lots of great stuff in the Bible, that doesn't make you a Christian. Even the demons believe that. Born again, and this guy never had a saving faith. He said it himself. A man who has led many churches, many congregations throughout his entire ministry has now announced that he has found Christianity elsewhere, in godless people, he says on Twitter. This is what he said. During this time, I also found something amazing. I found a handful of people who were more Christian than any Christian I had ever met, and they weren't Christians. I found love in places where love wasn't supposed to exist. I found acceptance among people who were godless. Shows you how mixed up he is. Gass explained that his marriage was a wreck, and despite all the marriage counseling, it was never what it was promised to be, and that in all 40 years of his entire ministry, he never witnessed anything, quote, supernatural. Supposedly, his parents, who were devoutly Christian, were abusive. The bottom line, he explains, quote, this is what he posted on social media the other day. My marriage was a sham. Prayer was never answered. Miracles were never performed. People died. Children rebelled. Marriages failed. Addictions occurred. All at the same rate as non-believers. The system just doesn't work. This guy's in ministry for 40 years, and he comes out with this. What do you notice there? My marriage was a sham. Prayer was never answered. Miracles were never performed. People died. Children rebelled. Marriages failed. Addictions occurred, all at the same rate as non-believers. The system just doesn't work. Well, first of all, assuming, like he said, he never had a saving faith, and I would assume he never did, okay? This kind of goes down the road of, can you lose your salvation? Well, you can't lose what you never had. So here's a guy that was able to fool people for decades. But he's basically talking about, my marriage was a sham. That's Christianity's fault? No. Prayer was never answered. I guarantee you prayer was answered, but not all prayers are answered with a yes, you get what you want. Miracles were never performed. Well, you don't get to see everything. But if you don't have faith, oftentimes you don't see miracles. People died. Well, of course. Children rebelled. That happens too. Marriages failed. Yes. Addictions occurred. Absolutely. All at the same rate as non-believers, which is sad. And in many ways, it's true. But in some ways, it's not. Like the divorce rate. They say the divorce rate in the church is just as bad as it is in the non-church crowd. It isn't. But this guy, it appears, God help him, just was like, hey, it didn't work for me. I didn't get stuff I wanted. I didn't see things I wanted to see. Well, in this life, you're going to have trouble. Jesus told us flat out, you're in a bad place. This world's really messed up. And you need to buck up, and you need to get ready, and you're going to have persecution, and things aren't going to go your way, and people are going to die, and addictions are going to happen. Children are going to go off. The Bible is very honest. It's a mess. It's a mess because of our sin. So sadly, it looks like this gentleman was just looking for what? The prosperity gospel? I don't know. He was never saved, yet he led churches for decades. We need to be careful to be on the lookout for such people. Here's another one. A quiet piano-playing Presbyterian mass shooter. This was at a Breakpoint yesterday. Here's the truth that Christian parents need to understand. In 2019, neither we nor our churches nor our extended communities nor even the friends and peers our kids see from day to day are necessarily the strongest influences in their lives. In fact, many teenagers today, particularly young men, construct their worldviews from the unhinged rants of strangers hundreds of miles away. Podcasts, so on and so forth on the internet. For some, the poison is merely foul language, drug culture, or bonkers sexual ethics. For John T. Ernest, it was anti-Semitic conspiracy theories and the firepower to back them up. So it was that a 19-year-old college student with a 4.31 GPA who loved to play piano and whose dad is an elder in the Orthodox Presbyterian Church decided that Adolf Hitler was a swell guy and resolved to walk into Shabbat of Poway Synagogue in California last Saturday and shoot four people, killing one. In news stories about the shooting, this young man's classmates, family, and fellow church members describe him as a quiet, studious, well-behaved guy. Socially awkward teenage boys with no prior criminal records have become a stereotype for mass shooters. I don't think, this writer says, it's because these young men are more criminally prone than others. Rather, I think it's because they're the last ones we tend to notice going bad. And that, friends, is the point. That's why I'm bringing this up. And no one noticed Ernest going bad, not even those closest to him. His parents say they raised him to reject hate and show love. They described his turn towards such evil as a terrifying mystery. His pastor, speaking on behalf of the congregation, said he and everyone else at Ernest's church were surprised and shocked by the attack. One of the elders described how he tried to talk to Ernest but could never get him to say much. And after reading Ernest's online manifesto, a classmate wrote, "It doesn't sound like the John that I know or knew. It sounds like someone who's been brainwashed by associating with the wrong crowds." This writer goes on. Again, this is from Breakpoint. Crowds he never met. Crowds in 8chan and 4chan and Reddit and God only knows what other melodious online swamps this deluded kid frequented before concluding that Jewish people have left us no choice. And he wrote this crazy manifesto, by the way, the same, very similar to what Dylann Roof wrote, the killer down in Charleston. Both young men are trapeze artists in tangled, paranoid worldviews of their own construction. Worldviews with vocabularies that sound nothing like ordinary people in ordinary schools, churches, or families. Ernest was one of my people on paper, but the Orthodox Presbyterian Church is no hive of anti-Semitism. This young man's church, classmates, and even his family barely knew him. I barely knew the man he had become behind the veneer of bookish silence. No one is immune, he writes. Hatred and conspiracy theories and racism and the blasphemy of Cain find purchase in human hearts of all sorts and willing accomplices even in the pews. To say we must make sure we truly know our sons and brothers and kids is too simple. Virtual cesspools must not be allowed influence over our children's thinking because our children are capable of worse than we can imagine. Very sobering. What's the point? As Christians, we should never let outsiders be alone. especially in our churches. If they're in our confines, if they're in our circle of influence somehow, we see people marginalized, out to the side, left out, the dorks, the geeks, whatever, the quiet, the socially awkward, and we don't go to them, that's dereliction of duty as Christians, as Christ followers. And that's what happens. We can't save them all. We can't impact them all, but we can certainly impact the ones we know about. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always said, ever forward.